Good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to be with you, and it's good to be together and to worship together. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt like something is completely beyond your ability. When I think about this, I think about my first essay of my counselling degree year. I remember I felt overwhelmed, I felt scared of it, and I remember I'd put off writing this essay for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I went to bed one night and I knew the next day I had to put pen to paper, so to speak. I had to do it because the deadline was like there. And I remember in bed, and I was laid in the fetal position. And I remember, really, I was considering throwing in the towel. I was like, I don't think I can do this. Maybe I just step out. And I remember saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's too much. It's beyond me. I've not got the ability to do this. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this, Lord. And a very familiar verse came to mind, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I made a choice in that fetal position to change the narrative. And I began to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this essay through Christ with me who helps me. And it's that sense of desperate need for Jesus, for his help, that is really the essence of our first beatitude, which is our verse today. So let's read them all to just orientate ourselves again as we start this series. So Matthew 5, 3 to 10. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So as I say, our verse today is that first beatitude, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we start, let's just remind ourselves of what blessed means. Warren Wiersbe says the word blessed, used by Jesus here, implies an inner satisfaction and sufficiency that does not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. To be blessed speaks of a deep sense of contentment and well-being that is real, irrespective of difficult circumstances. Blessed speaks of being aligned to God's truth, living in sync with the Spirit of God. To be blessed, Donald Carson says, fundamentally is to be approved. When God blesses his people, he is approving of them. And this links to Max Lucado's quote, which he says in terms of that word bless or blessing, there's a sense of the applause of heaven on my life. Now, Max Lucado goes on to say that the Beatitudes are building blocks. They build on each other, each one building on the previous, with our verse today, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, being the foundational block. The beatitude, poor in spirit, is like the hinge for all the others. It's the beatitude that opens up all the other beatitudes to be developed in our lives. And as we move forward this morning, we're going to look briefly at three areas to help us explore this first beatitude. So the three areas that we're going to briefly look at: what is poor in spirit? Why do I need to be poor in spirit? And how do I become poor in spirit? And I'm just going to offer some thoughts. So what is poor in spirit? Well, I thought it might be helpful to outline, firstly, some of the things that it's not. So poor in spirit is not financial destitution or material poverty. Poor in spirit is not poverty of spiritual awareness. In fact, being poor in spirit would indicate increased spiritual awareness. Poor in spirit is not poor-spiritedness, a lacking in vitality or courage. Poor in spirit is not fake humility, nor can it be artificially induced by fake humility. Poor in spirit is not believing or agreeing with the thought that our very being or existence is insignificant, that a person is just without value, that is just untrue and a lie. That thought and belief does not hold up to scripture. It does not hold up to what we know of our loving and good Father, who demonstrated and declared our value and our worth throughout the pages of scripture and ultimately in the death of Jesus. Poor in spirit does not indicate poverty of the Holy Spirit. Again, I would suggest the more we are filled with the Spirit, the more aware we'll be that we are poor in spirit. And poor in spirit is not a poverty spirit. There's a big difference. A poverty spirit says, I am living in lack. A poverty spirit says, what I have is not enough. And it denies the all-sufficiency of the Saviour. So if that gives us some insight into what poor in spirit is not, what is it to be poor in spirit? Well, I think Jesus is talking about spiritual poverty. In contrast to a poverty spirit, to be poor in spirit is a posture of humility. It recognizes I need the one who is greater than I. It acknowledges the all-sufficiency of the Savior, Jesus. When writing about this first beatitude, John MacArthur writes that being poor in spirit is the opposite of self-sufficiency. Spiritual poverty includes the deep humility of recognizing one's utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. And that exact phrase is found in all the commentaries that I've read. It was striking in its prevalence. Spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. And I suppose I wonder how that lands with us, that phrase, that we are spiritually bankrupt apart from God. I wonder if that makes us bristle a little bit underneath it. I wonder how that sits with us and sits with our hearts and how our hearts and minds respond to that. Our response may tell us a little about our own spiritual poverty or maybe lack of it. My encouragement would be, just notice what the Holy Spirit's doing as you sit with that phrase. Be curious about your response. Be curious about what you're feeling. What is that you're feeling when you hear that? Why does this attitude, spiritually bankrupt apart from God, sit the way it does with you? Where does that response come from? What is it about? And then maybe bring it to the Lord. So we are on a discipleship journey as we apprentice under Jesus. And we're seeing that part of our attitude as apprentices is that we are to be poor in spirit. We're seeing that being poor in spirit is a kingdom characteristic that we can and we are to develop. It's like the Beatitudes are a mirror held up to our hearts that helps us to see what the attitude and the characteristics of our hearts actually are. Being poor in spirit leads us, it propels us to dependency on Jesus. Being poor in spirit propels us to be with him, to abide with him, because we realize we can do nothing without him. I'm mindful of John 15, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide in me and I will abide in you. Poor in spirit, acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy is a confession of our need for God. A humble admission of our inability without him. This beatitude refers to those who have confidence only in God. It refers to those who realize that they do not have the capacity within themselves to do anything apart from him. Those who recognize, I do not have within myself what it takes to be the person I was created to be. This is the foundational building block, the foundational attitude, the foundational kingdom characteristic of apprentices of Jesus, recognizing our utter need for him as Savior and Lord of our lives. We are spiritually bankrupt apart from him. This is the position of our hearts and minds. And from this position, all the other kingdom characteristics flow. So maybe let's look at now, why do I need to be poor in spirit? Well, very simply, because we are blessed when we are poor in spirit. There's a sense of the applause of heaven over our lives. To acknowledge our own poverty of spirit, our own desperate need for Jesus, is the first step to blessing, is the first step to a deep sense of contentment, inner satisfaction and well-being, despite the circumstances. Why do I need to be poor in spirit? Because when we develop an attitude of being poor in spirit, when we acknowledge our utter bankruptcy apart from him, there's a promise. There's a promise for us. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is theirs for those who are poor in spirit. All the riches of the kingdom are available to the one who recognizes their own spiritual bankruptcy without God. All the riches of the kingdom, it's a promise. Just this week, I was reminded of my spiritual bankruptcy and my need for Jesus in a moment of everyday life. One evening this week, I was feeling tired, feeling like I had too much to do. It was late evening, and I went to the kitchen to make myself a salad for work the next day. This in itself felt like an effort. I was swinging between that and just go buy a sandwich tomorrow, Sarah. It felt like an effort. I went to pull the salad things out of the fridge, and the half a red pepper that I had washed the night before and cut up had gone. Now, Hannah, our 17-year-old daughter, is also on let's have salad for lunch phase. So at that point, I marched to the bottom of the stairs and yelled up the stairs in an accusational, I'm not happy tone to Hannah, who was studying in her bedroom. Hannah, did you eat the half a red pepper for your lunch today? Yes. Sorry, came the reply. And in a very selfish, thoughtless, and ungenerous reply, I yelled back, that was mine. And I marched back into the kitchen. Now, Hannah, bless her, came down soon after and apologized again. But by this time, I'd caught myself. I'd caught what was going on, and I apologized to Hannah. I'd got that wrong. I said she could eat peppers from the fridge anytime she wanted. I explained I was just feeling tired and I didn't want the extra effort of washing another red pepper. And I was sorry. Rupture and repair. So, an everyday family life moment. But what was that about? I mean, Hannah, bless her, has got a hire starting this week, and I'm yelling up the stairs about a red pepper. I mean, come on, Sarah. In a moment of tiredness and overwhelm, my sinful nature kicked in again. I could only think of myself. Where was my gentleness? Where was my patience, my self-control? Where was my generosity? Instead, I'm yelling up the stairs, it was mine. And if I'm brutally honest, I said it to make her feel bad. Not the way I want to respond. Now, I know this is a tiny, perhaps insignificant interaction, but as I've pondered on being poor in spirit, it became clear to me that even in the minutiae of life, I need Jesus. I can't do my life without him. I need Jesus to help me to respond differently. And it turns out that I even need Jesus to make a salad. Now, let me be clear. This acknowledgement that we are poor in spirit is not a denial of our self-worth. We are not beating ourselves up. We are not devaluing ourselves, as already mentioned, but it's just a humble recognition of our sin and our desperate need for Jesus. So how do I become poor in spirit? Well, the first step is by acknowledging the current state of our sinful nature. John Stott wrote, "For we are sinners under the wrath of God and deserving of nothing but the judgment of God. We have nothing to offer, nothing to plead, nothing to buy the favor of heaven." That's why we need Jesus. When we become aware of our sin, we become aware of our great need for Jesus. This awareness then positions our heart and our attitude to become poor in spirit. Humility also helps us to become poor in spirit. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." So it's not, I'm rubbish, I'm worthless, I'm nothing. That's not what it is. But it's thinking of yourself less, like the salad incident. My red pepper, I'm tired, I don't want to put the effort in. Humility is thinking of ourselves less. And this feels like it aligns with putting to death our sinful nature. Emptying ourselves of pride, independence, self-achievement, and self-service, and admitting our need for Jesus. Humility keeps us dependent on Jesus and trusting him to meet our every need. So, acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy without him, humbly recognizing our great need for him, trusting in his all-sufficiency, acknowledging our current sinful state, and keeping our hearts and minds humble. These are some of the markers for becoming poor in spirit. In teaching on the Beatitudes, Jesus is wanting his disciples to develop these kingdom attitudes. They are not characteristics or attitudes that we have apart from him. And we will not develop these characteristics and attitudes until we recognize that we are poor in spirit and that we're in great need of him. As we live with him, become more like him, and do as he did, he helps us to develop these characteristics, these attitudes in our lives through the help of the Holy Spirit. As the band come back up, let me close by reminding us of what Max Lucado writes. This is no casual shift in attitude. It's a demolition of the old structure and a creation of the new. Did you catch that? This is no casual shift in attitude. It's a demolition of the old structure and a creation of the new. The more radical the change, the greater the joy. And it's worth every effort, for this is the joy of the Lord. Amen.